You're listening to the Happy Doc Student Podcast, a podcast dedicated to providing clarity to the often mysterious doctoral process. Do you feel like you're losing your mind? Let me and my guests show you how to put more joy in your journey and graduate with your sanity, health, and relationships intact.
I'm your host, Dr. Heather Frederick, and today I welcome a very special guest, Yogi Aaron. Whether you already have a yoga practice or you have no intention of ever getting on a yoga mat, you are in for a treat. Yogi Aaron is the co-owner of Blue Osa Yoga Retreat and Spa in Costa Rica and is trailblazing a new path in the world of yoga by flipping the script. So listen, if you think yoga is about being flexible and having the ability to twist your body into the shape of a pretzel, today's show is going to have you thinking twice. His teachings aim to help as many people as possible live a pain-free life so they can realize yoga's true intentions. He is the creator of the revolutionary approach to yoga, applied yoga anatomy and muscle activation, Ayama, and the online platform, The Yogi Club. He is also the host of the podcast, Stop Stretching, and author of Autobiography of a Naked Yogi and a very new book that just came out, Stop Stretching, A New Yogic Approach to Master Your Body and Live Pain-Free. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Heather. Very much appreciate being here.
Your work resonates with me so much because I will say my yoga practice has been a really important part of keeping me sane. And yet, I would never use the word flexible to describe my body. So I was hoping you could spend a couple minutes introducing yourself to the audience and kind of explain to how you got to where you are.
I got into yoga when I was 18. I was a very active individual. And I just started to notice that I was tightening up and I just was losing range of motion because of muscle tightness. And so I thought, well, I work out, so why don't I just kind of incorporate a yoga routine? And like a lot of people, when you hear the word yoga, you automatically think stretching, or I have to stretch my body. And so I was one of those kinds of people. And so I got into yoga for that. And one of the things that happened very quickly, just as a side note, I noticed I injured myself, my back spasms one day. And I was like, oh my God, this is what getting old feels like. Because I was 18 at the time. And, you know, it really took me 25 years to figure out that that back spasm, which then actually happened several times after that, was the result of yoga, stretching, doing the stretches. And so the final time it happened, actually, it was very chronic, and I ended up in a surgeon's office, an orthopedic surgeon's office, who said that I probably was going to need to have a spinal fusion. And so at that moment, I was like, there has to be another way. This cannot be what's in store for me. And, you know, it's worthwhile pointing out, like, a lot of yoga teachers, a lot of senior yoga teachers have had hip replacements, knee replacements, surgery in their shoulders, and different parts of their body. And there's a wear and tear that starts to happen as a result of these kind of, you know, I'm going to put my body into a pretzel pose. And that kind of took me into this whole path of muscle activation. One of my dear friends and therapists, physiotherapist, incorporates a methodology called muscle activation technique. So when this kind of like final straw happened, I made the decision to, with my friend's guidance, to start doing the course, the muscle activation technique course. And it was there that like, so many light bulbs went off. But I think one of the biggest light bulbs that went off is, you know, I've been doing yoga, teaching yoga for almost 30 years now, pretty much 30 years now. And at that point, about 25. And I realized I had no idea about anything around the human body. I was mortified at my lack of understanding of anatomy and basic muscle function. Like, I did not understand intrinsically how a muscle worked. And so I made it my life mission at that point to say, I'm never going to teach people stretching again, and I'm never going to be so ignorant, to use that word, in the area of the body and the muscular system.
So with this muscle activation technique, can I make the assumption you got out of pain?
Yes. Yes. I've really pretty much had almost no back problems since then. The kind of times that I have had a couple of little back issues, it was not because of anything I was doing per se. It was more to do with life, if you will, and stress. I mean, one of the reasons why muscles stop working in the body, which then, you know, leads to a lot of problems, is because of stress. So stress is at the top of the list. You know, we were joking before we came on the show, having your paper being the 123rd revision, you know, that's a stress that can cause enormous stress. But also trauma, like, you know, a car accident, or one day you fell and you really hurt yourself. And then the other problem is overuse, you know, and you look at runners and how much they overuse certain parts of their body that really are not working very well. So those three things combined can just lead to this incapacitation of muscle function.
And as you said, we were talking before the show, and I shared one of the reasons I was so excited to have you share this information with the audience is because the average age of my audience is 40s and 50s, and we've lived life. We've used our bodies a lot. The doctoral program, by definition, is stressful. And if you're in pain, it's difficult to think clearly. So resolving chronic pain should be, listener, top of the list if you want to finish your program. I'm curious, Aaron, so there's people out there going, wait a second, I do yoga, or I've seen these poses on Instagram. So are you still teaching yoga, or is this a totally different thing that's going on?
That's a very good question. First and foremost, I'm really passionate about yoga. For me, yoga is really the answer to so many humans' problems. if they use it, you know, I mean, so knowledge is only power when made available, right? Or when practiced. So if we use the teachings, that is, I mean, but the whole premise of yoga is twofold. I think it's twofold. Somebody else may have a different opinion, but I think it's twofold. The first thing, it says that all of us have a purpose in life and are here to fulfill that purpose. And then the second part says, basically, but a lot of us, you know, kind of fall down trying to fulfill that purpose because we get in our own way. And so what yoga says is, let's remove those things that we've put in our own way so that we can manifest and live life's purpose. And so, you know, another word for what I'm talking about right now is suffering. Like, we are geniuses at creating our own suffering, whether it's absorbed from other people, i.e. our parents, or, you know, family history or whatever, or things that happen to us in life. And so what yoga says is, like, within us, we have this kernel of brilliance, and it's just waiting to explode. And so what we need to do is remove the covering of that brilliance. So there's this brilliance within us is covered by this, literally, they call it a covering. It's a covering of light. And so what we need to do is remove that covering. So a lot of the techniques are like, okay, how do we remove it and awaken to our potential? And a lot of people listening might think, oh my God, that sounds like a process. I don't know if I have time. I barely have time. But the principles are so simple. And all the great masters taught, you just need to just pause for a moment and learn how to breathe a little properly, learn how to move your body properly, you know, maybe eat a little bit better. And so by doing these things, we can start to remove that covering of light. Where I come into it, like a lot of traditional, I guess, Western practitioners, we usually teach yoga by teaching stretching. And I mean, there's so much to say about that in and of itself, but where I come into it is basically just flipping the script on it. For example, if a teacher, if you're teaching a forward fold, a standing forward fold, and you can't touch your toes, the teacher will say, "Oh, Heather, you've got really tight hamstrings." And then they probably will follow up and say something like, "We need to open those hamstrings."
Yes.
Which, by the way, you know, a lot of people listening have some medical acumen behind them, and they will know that opening hamstrings doesn't biomechanically make sense. How can you open your hamstrings? And sometimes they'll say, "Open your back or open your hips." I now joke with my students and say, "Listen, we can open your hips if you want, but you'll just leave here with dislocated hips. Is that how you really want to, you know, walk through life?" So where we would come in from my perspective, and I think from a proper muscle function perspective, is if I can't touch the toes, we need to look at what are the muscles moving my hands towards my toes. So now we're looking at the front of the body. We're looking at the abdominals, for lack of better words right now. There's more muscles involved, but the abdominal core and its ability to shorten. We're looking at the quads and some of the hip flexors and their ability to shorten. It's got nothing to do with the hamstrings or back. So it's reframing how we're setting up for a pose, how we're preparing for a pose. And sometimes, like, is it really that important to get people to touch their toes? I actually never teach that anymore. For me, that's not important. For me, what's more important is making sure that the front of the body, if we're coming into a forward fold, is working better. But here's the thing that a lot of, I would even say, doctors have forgotten. One of the primary, you know, kind of facts about muscle function is that with every muscle, there's an opposite. Muscles work in pairs. So you have an agonist and an antagonist. And so if we get the core working, if we get the quads working, the hamstrings are already going to naturally lengthen. But what a lot of us try and do is focus, okay, we have to open up our hamstrings, but we never address the root of the problem, which is that the quads are not working properly. That muscle function of the quads are not shortening. So it's flipping the script. I'll give you one more example. Like if we're coming into a side bending pose, you know, triangle pose is a very popular pose in yoga. So if we're coming into triangle, the teacher will always say, "Okay, focus on stretching the side body." Where I would come in, I would say, I wouldn't even mention the side body. I don't even bring it up. Guys, focus on, let's get the oblique muscles on the side that we're bending into contracting better. And if those muscles start contracting better, the side of the body is going to naturally elongate.
What I really love about your podcast is I had so many light bulbs going off when I was, I'm like, that makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. And so listeners, if that little explanation that Aaron gave about stretching and why it may not be working for you was resonating with you, I'm going to make sure to have the link to his podcast below where he goes into more depth exactly what's going on so that you can understand, again, coming back to the root. It's so important.
Yes. Well, two things I want to mention, which kind of tie together, is why we're tight in the first place. You know, why are the hamstrings tight? Why are the quads not contracting properly? So what I'm teaching is actually not muscular per se. It shows up as muscular, but it's not. What I'm actually doing is working more in the neuromuscular system, that kind of brain to muscle response. And so there's videos you can watch on YouTube about how we become more flexible. And it's very fascinating because that information is correct. You're actually, by stretching muscles, you're lowering the proprioception between the brain and the muscle, which means basically you're cutting that connection, which is fascinating because we actually, what I'm doing is actually trying to improve that connection. We want the muscles to be working better. And so the muscle tightness is always a result of muscle weakness. In this sense, the quads aren't working, so the hamstrings are going to tighten up. What we want to do is improve that telephone line. Sometimes I refer to it like a telephone line between the brain and the muscle. And we want to make sure it's working really well.
And since we're all aging, if you're listening to this podcast, we're all aging. Well, one of the things I took from listening to you and your podcast were that it was less about stretching and being flexible and more about making sure this connection was working properly and being stable.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you for bringing that up, because some people say, well, what's the connection between what I'm doing and the purpose of yoga? And one of the things that the yoga teachings address really a lot, there's a lot of this in there, is this idea of becoming more stable and that we can't do anything in life. And I really mean that. We just cannot function in life. We can't do anything in life if we're not stable. And that word stability, we could spend 3 podcasts talking about stability and what that means. But to kind of sum it up, we're talking stability of the mind, of course, you know, like getting really stable in the mind, having that ability to focus your energy and not be distracted. And it's so easy for us to be distracted. How many of your listeners wake up in the morning? And I mean, no disrespect in saying this, but what one of the first things a lot of your listeners do is turn on the news. But, you know, my point, it isn't so much about the, you know, the news is bad, but we are always being pulled outside of ourselves. We are always getting caught up in our friends' stories, drama. And it's neither bad or good. That's not really the point. The point is that we're not really focusing our whole life force energy on manifesting and living our life purpose. You know, when I leave my yoga immersions, there's 2 comments that people always say. One is, I feel disconnected. And 2, they do not feel present in their body. They feel like their body is something like a stale piece of clothing or something like that. So yoga, a lot of the practices in yoga, I would say most of them, really focus on this idea of getting stable. And then, of course, when we talk about asana, when Patanjali described asana, he used 2 words, but one of them was sthira. And sthira means steady, still, and stable. And so he was like, you cannot progress spiritually until you get stable in your body. And so this idea of steadiness. And so for me, a person who has lived a lot of their life in chronic, horrible chronic pain, I can tell you, in those moments I was in pain, I was not living my best life. I was not feeling stable. All my life force energy is like, how do I get out of pain? And so my goal, having lived so much in pain and talked to so many people who are dealing with chronic pain and they don't have to, there are easy solutions and they've just kind of resigned to it. And so my goal is to like, okay, guys, we don't have to keep writing the story. We can flip that script if you want to. And here's how to do it. And it's pretty simple. It does take some effort, of course. Like I said, knowledge is power when you make it available. But we have to use it.
And Aaron, because some of the listeners may not be familiar with asana, I think it would be worth just taking a moment. My understanding is a lot of people who aren't familiar with yoga think of yoga as just moving your body.
Yes.
But it's so much more than that.
Yes. Well, that's a huge topic. Why we practice asana. So asana means posture. And so we're talking about like trikonasana or triangle pose, which your listeners can quickly Google, you know, triangle pose and see what I'm talking about. So the reason why we practice these postures, first and foremost, is to get stable. But we're also making experiments with our consciousness. We're using our breath and our body and our mind to start creating different pathways of being able to harness our consciousness, to harness that inner power, if you will. Part of what I teach is Tantra yoga, and Tantra says, learn how to bring more of yourself to yourself. I know a lot of yoga teachers just teach posture. If you have a good yoga teacher that's worth their salt, they're not just going to teach you a pose. They're going to teach you, let's go into this pose and use our breath in a certain way. Let's breathe diaphragmatically, for example. Let's inhale and exhale with equal counts. So become aware that you're inhaling for 2, 3, 4, exhaling to 3, 4. And there's this continuous diaphragmatic breath. Now let's bring in an intention. Let's go into this pose and feel a sense of our expansive nature moving outward into our life purpose. You know, let's start to visualize other things. Let's also now use mantra, chanting. So when we're really practicing yoga and we're following, I guess, kind of like a systemology, we're bringing in and harnessing different parts of ourselves to awaken, like I said, that light within us that's already existing. And what it does at the end of the day is it starts to retrain our mind to do something really powerful. Everybody listening to this and everybody in the world, at some point, I think somewhere between the age of 1.5 to 8, depending on your family and your circumstances, learned that happiness was outside of us. And so the mind ever since then has been looking to find happiness outside of ourselves. And we've never learned to be completely at home or at rest within ourselves. And so what yoga is about is starting to retrain the mind that, yes, the eternal kingdom is within us and all the answers that we need are already within us. All we have to do is start to retrain our mind. Hey, mind, yes, this is where happiness is. And once the mind starts to become infused in that place, it starts to relearn, yes, I don't need that happiness in the outside world because that happiness is always temporary. It's always fleeting. And it starts to become more seated, if you will, within ourselves.
And Aaron, you articulated so beautifully how I would put into words what yoga has meant for me. And before I started practicing, I would say I was always in the future. It was very difficult for me to be present. I don't even know how my body survived because once I started doing yoga and was being asked to take deep breaths, I'm like, wow, I'm not even breathing. I was going through most of my day, I think, holding my breath, right? Yeah. So when I will suggest to a stressed out student or faculty member, what do you think about yoga? And then, of course, 9 times out of 10, they say, well, I'm not flexible, so that's not for me. I try to explain what you just did, but in such a you did it in such a beautiful way that it is about coming back to you.
Yes.
And aligning with who you are and then living out that best version of you. It's not about being able to do a headstand or put your leg behind your head, right? It's about so much more. So listeners, whether you practice yoga because you want to be more flexible or you had no intention, I'm hoping that this conversation today is maybe giving you a new paradigm to look at this thing we call yoga, because how amazing would it be to sit down in front of your computer, to open up that Word document where you're working on your dissertation or some of your schoolwork and just feel happy being who you are and where you are. How different would the experience of graduate school be if you could tap into that emotion?
Beautifully said.
And Aaron, as we brought up, so maybe you're not in pain and you're like, well, I'm not in pain, but hey, being stable in your mind and your body is something that I think anyone would want. I'm going to make sure I offered to listeners a free program that I'm going to have in the show notes, 7 practices for knee, hip, low back, neck, and shoulder pain. Most of the listeners are sitting at a computer, both at work and then at school. So I can't wait for them to experience your practices through this free offering. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you for sharing it with people. I think that it can start to become a game changer, you know, for people to start to understand their bodies a little bit more, and also just some simple tips and tricks and hacks in really how to not only make their body stronger, but become pain-free. So thank you.
And Aaron, before we wrap up today's episode, I am wondering if you have maybe a favorite quote that you would like to share, or maybe some just final words of wisdom.
Well, of course, I'm going to say stop stretching. And just, you know, to your listeners, my book is on Amazon, so they can get it. But, you know, I often get asked, what is some piece of advice to give to people? I have to think about that a little bit because, you know, I live my life in this way But one of the things I constantly do every day when I wake up is ask myself, am I really living my purpose? And that really helps me to stay focused. I know so many of your listeners are doing their PhD and they got into it because they really felt like they wanted to awaken to something. They wanted some knowledge. They wanted to better themselves. And it's a hard process, but going through a PhD process is a wonderful yogic practice of training your mind. My teacher, Swami Rama, was very known to be able to give what's called Shaktipad. It's basically like a spiritual electric jolt of energy that can put somebody into instant samadhi. And so many of his students bugged him, "No, Swamiji, give me Shaktipad, please." And he would say, "You don't need Shaktipad. You need to go get a PhD." And so
I love that.
I would just say, just know you guys are doing the right thing and you're in the right place, but you have to come back to that purpose because life will distract you. There's so many distractions in life. And so stay with it. And, but then also go to bed at night full of gratitude that you had the opportunity to live your best life that day. And that will always keep you focused and on the path that you're meant to be on.
What a great way to end today's episode. And Yogi Aaron, thank you again for spending time with us. I'll make sure that all the links to how people can connect with you and your books are in the show notes below. So again, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. And I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. Until then, if you're looking for more ways to invite joy in your journey, check out the free resources at expandyourhappy.com. You'll find downloads like an article I wrote titled "The Doctoral Journey, 12 Things You Need to Know That They Probably Won't Tell You." You'll also find a PDF that organizes all podcasts by the 7 steps detailed in the Happy Doc Student Handbook, which you can also find on the website. Finally, if you're looking for a Happy Doc student swag, I've got that too. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and YouTube channel. And if you want to make my day, rate and review so that together we can change the way doctoral education is delivered and experienced. Hey, one more thing. Just a quick reminder that the information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only.